We're getting close to the time when the pilgrims will be starting their journey to Mecca. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take them safe and bring them back safe and give them the tawfiq to fulfill their amal there. And I would like to take this opportunity, especially of those who are going for Hajj, you know, to think about this issue, that why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the Muslims to go all the way to Mecca? He is everywhere. And this is where we, you know, there are a lot of things that we can look at it. Symbolism is one part of it. You know, but then the question comes, why? You know, why Mecca? It's not even a kind of a beautiful, you know, scenic place. It is a barren desert. Although the Saudis are trying to making it like a resort. You know, but essentially, if you look at it, it's a barren desert. But that's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I would like you to go. Especially those of you who have the ability, health-wise, money-wise, it is wajib on you to go once in a lifetime. And this is where we have to learn, you know, why? Why are we doing this? This is a duty. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Imran, ayat number 97, he says, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ عَلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is a duty on the Muslims, you know, on the people to go for Hajj of Baytullah, to visit the Baytullah. مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ عَلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. Whoever has the istata'a, the ability to travel, if they don't have the ability, then the obligation is not there. Even before Islam, when Ibrahim and Ismail, alayhim salatu wasalam, you know, they erected the walls of the Kaaba according to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَذِّن لِلنَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ. Announce, call people to Hajj. يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَىٰ كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ. They will come to you, either walking to Mecca or on a lean, you know, riding on a lean camel. يَأْتِينَ مِن كُلِّ فَجٍ عَمِيقٍ. They will be coming from far away places. To do what? At the end he says, لِيَشْحَدُ مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ. So that they may witness the benefits for themselves. So there are benefits when we go for Hajj. And this is where we have to think about it. Yes, it's not only having a business opportunity to know, you know, traders and business people coming from different parts of the world, networking for dunya. Yes, it is okay. One of the manafi of Hajj is that. But there is a social and spiritual dimension of that which is even more important. And for this khutbah, only one is this issue of identity of a Muslim. You know, Hajj is a very powerful way by which we come to realize what we are. When we go for Hajj, we basically shed away all the artificial identities that we have, whether it is to do with our clothing or our, you know, political status, you know, economic status. There, everybody is dressed in the same, you know, two-piece of ihram. Just last night in one of the gathering we had in Brampton, I was talking about it, that if you think about ihram, ihram is not dress of any nation in the world. Not even the dress of the Maasai. It's different from ihram. So there's nothing, no community, no nation in the world or tribe which has their own cultural clothing known as what we have as ihram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have probably said, you know, well, the Arabs wear thawb, so everybody go for ihram, you know, for Hajj, wear the Arabic dress. No. It is a way of, when you go there, you have to basically remove all the artificial, you know, marks of identity that we have. And there we have to come to realize that we might have a different language, different race, different color, different status in the society, but there in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are all ibadullah and nothing else. You know, the realization comes to us hopefully before namaz janaza. Because when we die, you could have a long, you know, line of your titles before it. If you are a king or a prime minister or a president or a marja taqleed or whatever, with many, you know, alphabets at the end of the degrees that we have. But when the janaza takes place, without any exception, in janaza we say, Allahumma inna hadha abduka. Wallah, you know, this is your abd. Wabnu abdik. Even father's name is not mentioned, or mother's name. He is the son of your servant. And that is where, you know, we come to realize when we go for Hajj, that when we talk about ourselves, we are part of the global ummah, irrespective of the race, color, ethnicity, or socioeconomic status. Islam doesn't say you shouldn't love people of your own tribe, your own culture, your own language. This is part of fitrah. This is part of the nature. You feel more comfortable, you know, mingling with those who speak the same language. We have the same cultural ways of doing things. That is very natural. Islam doesn't say that is a bad thing. What Islam says is that do not start discriminating among the mu'mineen on the basis of race, color, or culture, or language. That is the issue where this asabiyya comes in, prejudice comes in, discrimination comes in. And the best way of understanding when we are crossing that line comes from the sayings of our fourth Imam, Imam Ali ibn Hussein alayhi salatu wa salam. One of his companions by the name of Zuhri, he actually says, Su'ila Ali ibn Hussein anil asabiyya. You know, the Imam was asked about asabiyya. What is asabiyya? Asabiyya, bigotry, racism, or you can say prejudice against, you know, others because of color or language or ethnicity. An Imam defines that. He says, عَلَىٰ عَصَبِيَّ الَّتِي يَعْثُمُ عَلَيْهَا صَاحِبُهَا. This asabiyya where the person will be held accountable in the eyes of Allah becomes a sin. And يَرَى الرَّجُلْ شِرَارَ قَوْمِهِ خَيْرًا مِنْ خِيَارِ قَوْمٍ آخِرِينَ. The criteria is that once I start preferring people of my own kind, even those the evil ones, I start preferring them over the righteous ones from the other tribe. You know, when you say, oh, Nduguwetu bana, he's one of us. Doesn't matter. Whatever he does, whatever he say, we still have to support. No. If that is asabiyya, that is discrimination. This is what we call, you know, a prejudice and racism. And then Imam says, وَلَيْسَ مِنَ الْعَصَبِيَّ أَن يُحِبَّ الرَّجُلُ قَوْمُهُ. It is not discrimination or, you know, prejudice or bigotry to love people from your own kind. You know, that's part of nature. وَلَكِن مِنَ الْعَصَبِيَّ أَن يُعِينَ قَوْمُهُ عَلَى الظُّلْمِ. When you start supporting your own people when they are unjust and wrong. And that is a very, you know, fine line that Imam is explaining and very clear for us to understand. And this is where we have to realize that, you know, when we go for Hajj, at least that is the lesson we have to learn from Ihram, from Tawaf. If we don't learn that lesson, then I don't know why we are, you know, spending the time there. You know, look at the impact which was there on Malcolm X, and I repeated that. His words are very powerful, worth repeating, that he came from a background of a community. Afro-Americans were discriminated by the white people. And because of that, the reaction was that they had this kind of a, you know, bigotry towards the white people. This only changed when he went to Africa, started, you know, meeting the Muslims from other group other than the Nation of Islam. Then went to Hajj, and the impact which Hajj had on him, he writes that in the letter to his wife, and it is this part of his biography, where he says, there were tens of thousands of pilgrims from all over the world. They were of all colors, from blue-eyed blondes to black-skinned Africans. But we were all participating in the same ritual, displaying a spirit of unity and brotherhood that my experience in America had led me to believe never could exist between the white and the non-white. He thought it's impossible for white and non-white to, you know, be together in that way. America needs to understand Islam because this is one religion that erases from its society the race problem. Throughout my travels in the Muslim world, I have met and talked to and even eaten with people who in America would have been considered white, but the white attitude was removed from their minds by the religion of Islam. I have never before seen sincere and true brotherhood practiced by all colors together, irrespective of their color. And this is what we have to learn, that, you know, Islam is a religion which is colorblind. And that is the essence of our identity as part of the global ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand the rituals and to benefit from it in the right way, inshallah. إن أحسن الحديث كتاب الله العزيز بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعمل الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحليم الكريم غافر الذنب وقابل التوبة وهو الغفور الرحيم ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو العطوف للعباد بجوده والعواد على المذنبين بحلمه ونشهد أن محمدا نبيه وحبيبه سيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين ورحمة للعالمين صلى الله عليه وآله الداعين إلى سبيل الله بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة قادة الأمم وأولياء النعمة ومعدن الرحمة أوصيكم عباد الله بتوبة ما سلف من ذنوبكم. When we talk about the issue of unity and equality among the believers, you know, one of the serious problems that the Muslims are facing even now, in spite of millions going for Hajj, coming back as Haji, but that spirit is not there. Same as before. You're supposed to be a born again Muslim, a Muslim whose sins have been totally erased, but the attitude is still the same. And this is where, you know, we have to think about it. Look at the Muslim world. Look at how the rich, you know, Gulf states treat Muslims from other nations. Yes, if you have a Canadian passport, you know, your status is something else, huh? But if you come from Bangladesh, you are miskeen. And this attitude is still there. Among those who are known to be the custodian of the Haramain, you know, and then we say, you know, what's happening? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the ummah with everything. But when they do not reform themselves, yes, there will be bala and bala and bala on them. You know, we had this celebration of the birth of Imam Raza alayhi salatu wa salam last week. One of the reasons why the group of society known as Mawali during the early days of Islam. Mawali is is the plural of Mawla. One of the meanings of Mawla is a slave or a client. You know, during the pre-Islamic society in Mecca, for example, if you were a foreigner there and you settled down, you know, there was no security for you, for your life, for your property, unless you would attach yourself to one of the local tribes, and you will become Mawla of this tribe or that tribe. And then the security and the guarantees of that tribe will be now covered for you. Very, very similar to, you know, those who settle down in the Gulf states and want to work there as a business, they have to have a local person. So they are actually Mawla of that fellow. You know, to get that privilege to do business there or have the rights. And this, unfortunately, when Islam came, it abolished all these things. But it was then, unfortunately, revived. Except from the house of Ahlul Bayt. And the reason why the Mawali class of the society, the people, among the early days, even during the days of Amir al-Mu'mineen, were more attracted to the Ahlul Bayt because they saw that, you know, Ahlul Bayt did not differentiate between Arab and non-Arab or slave or the master or, you know, rich and the poor. And this is what we see in a beautiful example from the life of the eighth Imam. And this is a narration from Abdullah bin As-Salat. He says that one of the fellows from the followers of the Imam from Balakh, from Ahl Balkh, he was with the Imam in that journey to Khurasan. And he says, we sat down at the time of dinner, and he had some slaves and servants with him. So when the sufra or the food had been laid out, فَجَمَعَ عَلَيْهَا مَوَالِيَهُ مِنَ السُّودَانِ وَغَيْرِهِمْ Imam asked that all those workers and slaves that we have from, you know, Sudan and other areas, they should sit down and join in the sufra. Have the meal together. The guest says, جُعِلْتُ فِدَاكْ لَوْ عَزَلْتَ لِهَاُولَاءِ مَائِدَ O Imam, if you had put a different sufra for them, different tablecloth for them, you know, so they can have their own meal on the with their own group. This is where Imam says, "Mah, no. Inna Rabb tabaraka wa ta'ala wahidun. Our Lord is one. Wal ummu wahida. Our mother is Hawa. Wal ab wahid. And our father is Adam, one. Wal jaza bil amal. And on the day of Qiyamah, you will be, you know, dealt with based on what you do. So what is the difference whether they are my slaves or servants? You know, they will sit down and have the meal all together. And this is where we see, even in the seerah of Ahlul Bayt, sometimes we don't put this information all together in one place. If you look at the mothers of our imams of Ahlul Bayt, the fourth imam's mother was Persian. Fourth imam had a son by the name of Zayd bin Ali, very famous, a shaheed. Many Sanad that you see who use the word Zaydi as their last name are, you know, from Imam Zainul Abidin through Zayd. Zayd's mother came from Sindh. You can say Sindh or Hind is all one because that was the frontier province after the Arab land or the Persian land. You know, she came from Sindh. And then you look at, you know, the mother of the seventh Imam. She came from the Berber tribe, which is in the north. West Africa. The mother of the eighth Imam, she came from Maghrib, again the same northern Africa. The mother of the ninth Imam came from Nuba in Sudan, northern part of Sudan. And the mother of the tenth Imam also came from North Africa. So you see, four of the Imams, their mothers are from the African continent. And this is where we have to think about it. You know, there's no issue of, you know, color or race or culture or language. We are all followers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We follow the same prophet, the Ahlul Bayt. We always have talked about this issue of, you know, staying away from asabiyya. Even when we talk about promoting our madhab, many of you who know my late father, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate his status, he was the pioneer of da'wah and tabligh in Africa among the African people. The Indian background Khoja community was there for many, many decades before. And when he started this movement of, you know, it is necessary for us to share our madhab with the local people, there was a lot of opposition. He said, oh, you'll bring these blacks people into our masjid? They won't ask our daughter's hand in marriage. Oh, this is all musibah. It was good for him that there were some, you know, leaders in the Khoja community there who had that vision, and they looked at his program and they supported him. This is how initially the process started. And today, of course, Bilal Muslim Mission is a pride of the community. It wasn't there during the early days, not on the common level, because I know, I've grown up with Bilal Muslim Mission. Bilal Muslim Mission is my brother, actually. It's an institution, but, you know, I know the history. And, you know, today, mashallah, you go to some of the jama'at in East Africa, you will see an African sheikh as the, you know, imam of the masjid there. In masajid, you go there, you will see, you know, Indians and Khojas and, you know, Africans all together doing the namaz. It took some time to bring about that change in the attitude. But it was there. And this is where we have to realize that, you know, sometimes we have to deal with these prejudices that we have within ourselves on a subconscious level, and we have to work against it in order to reach to that level that Allah, Rasul, and the Ahlul Bayt can be happy with us. Salawat pranik para. Since I mentioned my late father, let me, you know, share with you one story about this issue of tabligh. A very large tribe in Kenya converted to Shia madhab, and they wanted to have a special ceremony for that, and Bilal Muslim Mission of Kenya requested my father to be present there. So he came from Tanzania there, and when he gave this speech, you know, this was his style anyways. So he was looking at this new convert, you know, African tribe, and he started talking about imams. You know, in Swahili, the Sadat are known as Ashraf, Sharifu. In the Shia world, in Arabic, Farsi, Urdu, we say Sayyid. But in the Arab world, in among the Sunnis, Ash-Sharif is the one whom we call Sayyid. And so in Swahili also, they call Sharifu. And so he just put an angle there where he said that, you know, my ancestry goes back to the ninth Imam. And the ninth Imam's mother was from Nuba, which is just north of Kenya. You know, he says, you don't know how, you know, delighted they were jumping up and down, that, oh, Sharifu is one of us now. You know, this is how they looked at it. You know, and so we had to realize that, you know, when it comes to especially the Shia mazhab, it has this, you know, unique perspective. Even when we look at the lives of the imams, that, you know, there is nothing like everybody has to be white, you know, blue-eyed, you know, blonde. No. Islam started there. You know, we don't believe in that concept that, you know, you just look at, you know, the feature of a person. You look at the nafs of a person. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The most honorable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala among you is the one who has righteousness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us away from this hamiyya of jahiliyya from our hearts and keep us on the path of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad salawatullah alayhi ajma'een. اللهم صل على سيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعلى إمام المتقين وعمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب صلوات الله عليه
وعلى سيدة نساء العالمين سيدتنا فاطمة بنت رسول الله صلوات الله عليها. وعلى سيد الشباب أهل الجنة الحسن المجتبى والحسين الشهيد بكربلاء عليهم الصلاة والسلام. والعائمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي عليهم الصلاة والسلام. اللهم صل على مولانا الحجة بن الحسن صاحب العصر والزمان. ما حيا صار البدو طغيان هذه بأمنية الشرك والنفاق حاسد فر البغي والشقاق. صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آباء الكرام ما اتصلت الليالي والأيام. اللهم عجل فرج وصح المخرج واكحل ناظرنا بنظرة منا إليه واجعلنا من المستشهدين بين يديه. اللهم اجعلنا ممن يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى. إن الله يعمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن علي حجة الله. أشهد أن علي ولي الله. حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح حي على خير العمل حي على خير العمل. قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يسبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض الملك القدوس العزيز الحكيم. هو الذي بعث في الأمين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كان من قبل لفي ضلال مبين. وآخرين منهم لما يلحقوا بهم وهو العزيز الحكيم. ذلك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله ذو الفضل العظيم. مثل الذين حملوا التوراة ثم لم يحملوها كمثل الحمار يحمل أسفارا بئس مثل القوم الذين كذبوا بآيات الله والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين. قل يا أيها الذين هادوا إن زعمتم أنكم أولياء لله من دون الناس فتمنوا الموت إن كنتم صادقين. ولا يتمنونه أبدا بما قدمت أيديهم والله عليم بالظالمين قل إن الموت الذي تفرون منه فإنه ملاقيكم ثم تردون إلى عالم الغيب والشهادة فينبئكم بما كنتم تعملون يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فاسعوا إلى ذكر الله وذروا البيع ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون فإذا قضيت الصلاة فانتشروا في الأرض وابتغوا من فضل الله واذكروا الله كثيرا لعلكم تفلحون وإذا رأوا تجارة أو لهوا انفضوا إليها وتركوك قائما قل ما عند الله خير من اللهو ومن التجارة والله خير الرازقين الله أكبر اللهم إن عبيدا من عبادك الصالحين قاموا بكتابك وسنة نبيك فاجزئهم عنا خير الجزاء الله أكبر سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان ربي العظيم رب حمد رب صل على محمد وآل محمد سمع الله لمن حمد الله أكبر سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمد رب صل على محمد وآل محمد الله أكبر أستغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه الله أكبر سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمد رب صل على محمد وآل محمد الله أكبر بحول الله وقوته بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد تبارك الله ربنا الله أكبر سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمد رب صل على محمد وآل محمد سمع الله لمن حمد الله أكبر اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد ربنا اغفر لنا وارحمنا وعافنا واعف عنا في الدنيا والآخرة ربنا اغفر لي ولوالدي وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا إنك على كل شيء قدير ربي صل على محمد وآل محمد الله أكبر سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمد رب صل على محمد وآل محمد الله أكبر أستغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه الله أكبر
سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمد ربي صل على محمد وآل محمد
الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Brothers and sisters, there's a request for Dua Shafa'i Mariz for Sister Kulsoom by Rashid and also for Sister Zainab by Jafar and a two-year-old child who is very sick. So let us recite Amma Yuju five times for the fast recovery of all these mu'minin and mu'minat and all those who are in need of our du'as, and please don't forget me in that list.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim Amma yujibul mustarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu as-su' من يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء من يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء من يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُصْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ يَا اللَّهُ 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 يَا
اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّ And as well as Surah Fatiha for Sister Zahra Shirazi, who passed away here today. And her janazah would be held here tomorrow at 11. Al-Fatiha. And also Surah Fatiha for the marhumin of all those who are present here. Al-Fatiha. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن علي حجة الله أشهد أن علي ولي الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح حي على خير الأعمال حي على خير الأعمال قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الله أكبر سبحان ربي العظيم وأبا حمد رب صل على محمد وآل محمد سمع الله لمن حمد الله أكبر سبحان ربي الأعلى وأبا حمد رب صل على محمد وآل محمد الله أكبر أستغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه الله أكبر سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمد رب صل على محمد وآل محمد الله أكبر بحول الله وقوته بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الله أكبر اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار إنك على كل شيء قدير ربي صل على محمد وآل محمد الله أكبر سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمد ربي صل على محمد وآل محمد سمع الله لمن حمد الله أكبر سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمد ربي صل على محمد وآل محمد الله أكبر أستغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه الله أكبر سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمد ربي صل على محمد وآل محمد الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وتقبل شفاعته في أمته وارفع درجته بحول الله. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي العظيم وأبا حمد رب صلي على محمد وآل محمد. سمي الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وأبا حمد رب صلي على محمد وآل محمد. الله أكبر. أستغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وأبا حمد رب صلي على محمد وآل محمد. الله أكبر. بحول الله. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي العظيم وأبا حمد رب صلي على محمد وآل محمد. سمي الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وأبا حمد رب صلي على محمد وآل محمد. الله أكبر. أستغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وأبا حمد رب صلي على محمد وآل محمد. الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم ذو الجلال والإكرام وأتوب إليه. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم ذو الجلال والإكرام وأتوب إليه. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم ذو الجلال والإكرام وأتوب إليه. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم ارزقنا توفيق الطاعة وبعد المعصية وصدق النية وغرفان الحرمة وأكرمنا بالهدى والاستقامة وسدد ألسنتنا بالصواب والحكمة واملأ قلوبنا بالعلم والمعرفة وطهر بطوننا من الحرام والشبهة، واكفف أيدينا عن الظلم والسرقة، واغضض أبصارنا عن الفجور والخيانة، واسدد أسماعنا عن اللغو والغيبة، وتفضل على علمائنا بالزهد والنصيحة، وعلى المتعلمين بالجهد والرغبة، وعلى المستمرين بالاتباع والموعظة، وعلى مرضى المسلمين بالشفاء والراحة، وعلى موتاهم بالرأفة والرحمة، وعلى مشايخنا بالوقار والسكينة، وعلى الشباب بالإنابة والتوبة، وعلى النساء بالحياء والعفة، وعلى الأغنياء بالتواضع والسعة، وعلى الفقراء بالصبر والقناعة، وعلى الغزاة بالنصر والغلبة، وعلى الأسراء بالخلاص والراحة، وعلى الأمراء بالعدل والشفقة، وعلى الرعية بالإنصاف وحسن السيرة، وبارك للحجاج والزوار في الزاد والنفقة، واغض ما أوجبت عليهم من الحج والعمرة بفضلك ورحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وغينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا.
السلام عليك يا باب الله وعلى جدك وابي امك واخيك وتسعة المعصومين من ذرية بنيك. السلام عليك يا ابا الفضل العباس المؤمنين. السلام عليكم يا سائر الشهداء جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليك يا غريب الغرباء. السلام عليك يا معين الضعفاء والفقراء. السلام عليك يا مغيث الشيعة والزوار في يوم الجزاء. السلطان أبا الحسن مولانا علي بن موسى رضا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليك يا حجة الله في أرضه. السلام عليك يا عين الله في خلقه. السلام عليك يا نور الله الذي يهتدي به المهتدون ويفرج به عن المؤمنين. السلام عليك أيها المهذب الخائف. السلام عليك أيها الولي الناصح. السلام عليك يا سفينة النجاة. السلام عليك يا عين الحياة. السلام عليك صلى الله عليك وعلى آل بيتك الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليك عجل الله لك ما وعدك من نصر ظهور الأمر. السلام عليك يا مولاي، أنا مولاك عارف مولاك وخراك، أتقرب إلى الله تعالى بك وبآل بيتك وانتظر ظهورك وظهور الحق على يديك. وأسأل الله يصلي على محمد وآل محمد، وأن يجعلني من المنتظرين لك والتابعين والناصرين لك على أعدائك والمستشهدين بين يديك في جملة أوليائك يا مولاي يا صاحب الزمان. صلوات الله عليك وعلى آل بيتك. هذا يوم الجمعة وهو يومك المتوقع فيه ظهورك والفرج فيه للمؤمنين على يديك وقتل الكافرين بسيفك، وأنا يا مولاي في ضيفك وجارك، وأنت يا مولاي كريم أولاد الكرام ومأمور بالضيافة والإجارة، فأضفني وأجرني. صلوات الله عليك وعلى أهل بيتك الطاهرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.